second book of Kings, chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. May God bless to us the reading of his word, for Christ's sake. Now I want to talk to you this evening about the cleansing of Naaman the leper. Perhaps I should say, the marvelous, miraculous, immediate, complete cleansing of Naaman the leper. It's a very remarkable story. And remember, when leprosy was cleansed in such a miraculous and immediate fashion, it just proves that a power was at work that was overthrowing all that was defeating Naaman. And every scar was healed. And immediately he became a new man, as it were, with new life, with new power. Steps out, as it were, a new creature. It's a tremendous story. And just to get the story over to you, in a way I trust you won't forget, I'm going to look at the story like this. First of all, I'm going to have a good look at the man that was healed. Name, the man. And then I'm going to have a look at the malady and the misery that came through leprosy. And after looking at the man and the malady, then I want to look just for a moment at the maid that worked for his good wife. And then looking at the man and the malady and the maid, then I want to look at some of the mistakes that he made, and then follow on with the message that he received, and the mercy that came to him, and then the miracle that took place. It's all a season, isn't it? You know, God paints for us here a wonderful, remarkable, blessed picture, a pain picture of the man. Just listen to the word. Now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. You know, we've got all the details we need about the man. God just paints a pen picture here. Let's get the hold of this. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. So that immediately we know that we're not looking at a common ordinary 5'8". This is a very capable character. He's captain of the host of the king of Syria. My, he's just equal to our field marshal. This was the field marshal of the great Syrian army. So that he's a very capable character. And then you'll notice this, that it says, now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Very nice touch, that. You see, he was not only capable, but he was very likable. It's not always that we get these two qualities in the one person. You find people who are perfectly capable sometimes, but not likable. Then on the other hand, you get characters who are perfectly likable and they're not just capable. But this fella is combining these two great qualities. He's capable and he's likable. And then the Bible goes further. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. God's just painting out his character. He's capable, he's likable, he's honorable. And then mark this. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. You know, he was usable. God had used him. God used men. Yes, he did indeed. We could stop and have a great talk there, but I haven't time. And then it goes further. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. You know, he was perfectly dependable. Let's just scratch out this character. Absolutely capable.
field marshal. Likeable, great man with his master, honorable, usable, and perfectly dependable. In the heat of a battle, he won't let you down. He's a mighty man of valor. So that we can see the man. We see the man. Capable, likable, honorable, usable, dependable. Great character. And then it seems that God puts this in to make us sit up and take notice. He was a mighty man of valor, but, that but just comes right in there, but he was a leper. Almost spoiled. You know, behind this glowing personality, away underneath the royal robes of Syria that he wore as the field marshal, away behind this great character's personality, away down in his flesh, was something that defeated this general every day he lived. He was living a defeated life. And it's just possible, you know, it's just possible that in this meeting this evening, there's a very lovable character somewhere. A very nice person, somebody that a whole lot of wonderfully good things can be said about, but there's a skeleton in the cupboard of your life, and you're living a defeated life. Yes. You know, friends, this leprosy, it's a picture of sin, isn't it, in the Old Testament? And remember that the day that we were born with something away down inside. Something that's called sin. Sometimes think that we don't get the hold of this. You know, I had a very enjoyable morning one morning. Some years ago, I wasn't too well, and one of our ladies at the meeting had a little lovely baby boy just about 3 weeks before this, and she brought him round to let me see him. And I can hear her coming up the stairs, and the little fellow's chuckling, and she put him down beside me on the bed, and he was really lovely. Got dimples in his cheeks, and his little toes were moving, and he's just a lovely baby, and I was so pleased, and I thought I'd have a bit of fun with her, you know. And I said to her, I said, you know, he's a sinner. She said, he's not. I said, he is a sinner. She said, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't said anything. I said, that's more, he hasn't thought anything either. But away down inside this cuddly, lovely little fellow is an old nature. And it's called in the Bible sin. And it's right there. You won't need to teach him to tell lies. And you won't need to send him to some school to teach him to say swear words. No, there's something inside to look after everything that's wrong. And you know, we were all born like that. Yes, by nature, we are children of wrath, the Bible says. By nature. And you know, just like leprosy, it breaks out. It breaks out in all kinds of souls. Breaks out in sexual activity. It does. It breaks out in hatred. It breaks out with jealousies, envy, backbiting, malice, murder. It's a terrible thing. And it's inside. And every one of us knows something about it. But there may be a very nice character in this meeting. And you know, away down deep inside, this old nature has got going and it's breaking out in sores, and you've covered them over and you've camouflaged them, but you're living a defeated life. But you know, the most horrible way that this thing breaks out is in what God calls unbelief. That's sin, you know. You know, the Holy Ghost has come from heaven in this dispensation in which we live. And this book before me says this, that when He, the Spirit of God, has come, He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then the Master went over these points again. He said, of sin, because they believe not on me. You know, the Holy Ghost has come from heaven right into this world of ours to convince men and women of the cursedness of unbelief. And you know, it will be only the work of the Holy Ghost that will work that in your heart. You see, I've been round all the corners in this old world. I know a whole lot of wee things. I know far too much. And you know, I've seen all kinds of sin. Horrible things that you wouldn't need to know about. And you know, I've found out that men and women guilty of all shades and colours of sin are quite prepared to own up to them all, except one. Except one. I was in the hospital just 3 days ago, seeing a little girl who has a baby now, and the father of the baby has run away and he can't be found, and she's only 18. And you don't need to stand at the bedside and say you're a fool. It would be the most unkind thing anybody ever did. She knows she's a fool. She knows without you saying. She'll own up to it that she's played the fool. And friend, I used to come home drunk every night. You see, my horrible story is this, that from I was 16 until I was 24, I never remember coming home one night sober. It's horrible. Just a lie. And you'd lie on the floor and you'd wake up in the early hours of the morning and you're frozen stiff and your money's gone and your health is going and you don't need somebody to come round to tell you you're a fool. You know you're a fool. And I've found out that men and women will own up to every sin on the calendar when they commit it. But here's one that's in our hearts. It's this cursed sin of unbelief. And it'll take the Holy Ghost to come. Oh, there are a whole lot of nice people. And they go to church. And they sing in choirs. And their name's on the roll. And they're rolled up in religion. And they're very nice people. But they have no time for Christ. And right down underneath the religious robes is something that's horrible in God's sight. You're a leper. Would to God I could convict you of that. You're a leper. And you're a leper on your way to hell. You're defeated. You have no time for Jesus Christ. You should blush. Yes. And that's the story that's here. What a man. And what a malady. And then here's how the story goes. It says that Naaman had carried captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. I'd like to talk to all the young women that saved for a moment. You don't mind me picking you out. She's just a little maid. We don't know her name. She's never mentioned again in the Bible. In fact, all that's said of her is in one small paragraph, just an inspect, as it were, in the Bible. But this little maid, she'd been taken captive, brought away from her father and mother, away from her home, away from her homeland, and now she's serving as a maid in Naaman's house. And you know, one day she came in before her mistress and said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And that's all the record we have of anything she said. But it's a wonderful thing, girls, because it teaches you this. You know, she came in before the mistress saying, "Would God." You know, she was prayerful, this little maid. She prayed for her enemies. This man that she's praying about, that she's lifting her heart to God for, this is the man that brought her from her home. My, she might have cursed the day she ever saw his face. Ah, but she's not, you know. She's prayerful. And then I want you to get this, girls. She didn't only say, "Would God..." She said, "Would God my Lord." She was respectful, you know. And Christians need to act like Christians. Yes, not like worldlings. Christians. So that she was prayerful and she was respectful, but she said this: "Would God my Lord wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria." And in saying that, she was very careful, wasn't she? She was bringing a message, and she was very careful about the way she brought the message. "Would God my Lord wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria." Just you get the message. "The prophet that is in Samaria." And you watch it. She was careful. And then she stood up boldly. She's just a little thing, you know, working in the kitchen. And she stood up boldly in the Syrian home and she said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And I'll guarantee you, she had never seen a Syrian leper healed in her life. Now, this is the only one recorded in the book, the Lord Jesus says. It's the only one. Was she in touch with God, this little girl? She must have been. You know, she's not afraid, is she? You know, I can see these things quickly. She was prayerful. She was respectful. She was careful. But she was faithful. She wasn't afraid, you know. She stood up and said, "My God can do this." My, wasn't she really throwing out her weight against the Syrians that had conquered her country? She was standing up for God in the palace of darkness. Oh, that we would get a hold of this. And so we've looked at the man and the malady and the maid. And now come the mistakes, and there were dreadful ones. You know, as soon as this was noised abroad, what the little girl had said, the king of Syria enters into this story. And he just wrote a letter and he said, "Come on, Naaman, my boy, I'll send you down to the king of Israel. I'll give you this letter to him, and you take it to him, and you just tell him I'll send you and you'll get healed." Ah, but the little girl didn't say one word about this man going to the king of Israel. Not at all. You see, this poor leper is being directed to the wrong source. And that's a very serious thing. And it's a very serious thing in gospel preaching. And a man that occupies the pulpit ought to know where to send the people and how to direct the people. And if they're directed past the cross and past the Christ, they'll perish. Mustn't send them to the wrong source, you know. And far too often this is done, even in evangelical meetings like this. far too often have done. You know, I have a great experience behind me. One of our brothers was showing me a bill. I came here preaching 20 years ago. In fact, the first time I ever stood in this platform, it's exactly 27 years ago. I'm not a chicken anymore. Friends, I've been around some big churches, I'll tell you one place. And you know, one night I preached and there were about 11 waited behind. And the minister of the church, and he was a decent fellow, he must have had some leanings for truth when he had the character like me preaching. And here he is, and I knelt down with a dear old lady and pointed her to the Savior and dealt with another one and another one. And when I got finished, he was sitting over here with his Bible down on the form with a big farmer beside him. And I came along and just stood behind the two of them quietly. And I can see the minister yet. He's got his arm round the big man and he said, "That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then I could see him squeeze the big man and he said, "Do you believe that?" And the big man said, "Yes, yes, I believe that, I believe that." And then the minister squeezed him and said, "You're saved." Then I got it in, you see, and I said, "You're not saved." And I would butt in at any time, just when a soul's at stake. And I said to the minister with the fellow kneeling beside him, "Who told you that the mere assent of the mind to writing on paper would save anybody? Then all you have, the mere assent of the mind to writing on paper, that wouldn't save anybody. That's all you have, it's a pity of you. You've been led to a piece of paper with a glorious text. If that's all you have, you're not saved. That's a bit of it." So I pushed the minister over a wee bit. I said, "Get over a bit and I'll do this for you." And I kept at the same text. And I said, "Look, sir, this is what it says. It says that God so loved the world. That is, God loved the world of sinners, lost. And he so loved them that he gave his only begotten Son. That is, he sent his only begotten Son out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe to go to the cross of Calvary to be the sacrifice for sin. And the Lord Jesus so accomplished the work that he was given to do that on the third day he rose again from the dead, and he's really alive just now. He's a living Savior, sir. And whosoever believeth in him." It's not, "Do you believe that?" It's, "Whosoever believeth in him." Tell me quickly, have you got a text? Or have you got the Christ of the text? You know, old W.P. was a great gospel preacher. W.P. Nicholson said things that I would never say. I couldn't say. He was allowed to say them somehow, but I couldn't say them. But here's one of the things he said. He said, "You know, the day that I got married, the minister wrote out the marriage certificate." He said, "William, there's the certificate." "No," he said, "this certificate told me I was married." "Do you think that's all I got?" "Not at all," he said, "I got a woman." Yes. Now tell me. Have you got a real, living, personal Savior? Tell me that. Or is your name just on the church roll, and you're rolled up in religion, and you've given mere assent to a text? But in your heart you have never embraced the Savior. It's not with the mere assent of the mind to a text you get saved. No, it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Sometimes when I'm expounding this, I say, supposing that there was a big farmer out in the country, he's got a wonderful farm, he's just got one daughter, her name is Mary, and you know the markets are going against him a wee bit, he's going to lose out. And one night sitting at the fire, he said, Mary, we're going to lose out, dear, we're going to lose the old farmstead, but there's a way out of this dilemma. You know the other big farmer up the road? He'd take you at any time. He said, Daddy, no, none of that. Not having that. I don't want him. I don't like him. Not taking him. You know, the old man pleads with her. And at last he persuades her just for the homestead stay. And at last the two of them stand at the altar. And the minister says to her, Wilt thou have this man to thy lawful wedded husband? And she says, I will. Now, according to the law of our land, she's his. But is she? Yes, she said, I will, and the law of the land says she's his. But in her heart, no. You're ever going to marry a man, dear, give him your heart. You'll need to take him with your heart. You'll need to love him, and you'll need to love him more than anything else that's around you. And God pity if you take him without it. Friend, let me ask you now, where art thou? Tell me where you are. Oh, behind this glowing great personality of yours, way down deep in your bosom, there's sin. And it is broken out in all shapes and colors. But the most awful scarlet color is unbelief. You haven't believed. You won't believe. You refuse to believe. You won't come and get the Christ of God. Your whole being with your whole heart. My, this was a dreadful mistake, wasn't it? And so when the mistake was made, the prophet then entered into the story. And he sent up to the king, he said, send him down. And he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. And I've always tried to picture this. You know, I can sketch very quickly. I can take a piece of blank paper and sketch almost anything on it. I never was taught to do that. There's something in me does that. And it's great fun that I have. And sometimes I try to just visualize these tremendous Bible pictures. Fun out of them. And I can visualize this. Naaman coming to the prophet's house with his chariot and with all his attendants, and this great captain of the Syrian army coming with all the pomp and pride that Syria could muster on this occasion, and he's coming to a little house on the side of the hill where the prophet was. And you know, as he pulls out, the door opens, but it's not the prophet that comes out. No, it's the prophet's servant. And he walked slowly down to the great chariot, and he just looked at Naaman and he said, the message is, dip 7 times in Jordan, and thou shalt be clean. Turns and goes in again. Well, what a reception. Can't you see Naaman's face? He looked round and he said, I thought at least he'd come out. He'd have the decency to come out. I thought he'd come out and call on his God and strike his hand over the leprosy and I would be clean. Oh, he said, I can't put up with this. And fancy asking me to go down to dirty old Jordan. I'm not doing it. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? And he turned and went away in a rage, so the Bible says. And sometimes, you know, when you keep at the old gospel message, and you tell people that God loves them, and that Christ died for them, and that the blood was shed, and the victory was won, and the price was paid, and the battle fought at Calvary, and because it was so perfectly accomplished, that on the third day God brought again from the dead a Savior, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People get annoyed with it. Well, they say, I can get it through sprinkling. No, you can't. Not a bit of you. They say, well, I can pay into the church, and I can give my money, and I can get salvation like that, can you now? Well, I'll just tell you what God's word says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's either heaven by Christ or hell without him. You'll need Christ. And it doesn't make a matter how long you live down here. And it doesn't make a matter how many things are changed. And it doesn't make a matter what modernists do with the Bible. This message will be God's message. And God will not alter the message for you. You can get in a rage if you like. But when your rage is over, the message will be seven times named. Or, whosoever believeth in him, sinner. It will always be like that. Won't change. Be like that tomorrow night and right on down through the mission. And as long as we're here, it will be whosoever believeth in him. That's the message. And then, you know, when he was going away in the rage, there was mercy, wasn't there? Because his servants drew near, I think very timidly, and they put their hand on the side of the chariot and said, Master, look, Master, take your time. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says, wash and be clean? You know, that was a word, wasn't it? Lovely word. God was following him with mercy. Sometimes, you know, we despise the very mercy that follows us. My, when the Lord dipped in the sop and handed it to Judas, it was an old Jewish custom saying, it doesn't matter what's going on in your mind or what you've planned, I'm prepared to forgive you right now. But he despised the mercy. My, when two angels came from heaven and took Lot's wife by the hand and started to bring her out of Sodom. It was the mercy of God. In fact, Lot said, thou hast magnified thy mercy in saving my soul. But she despised the mercy. Now, if the Lord's knocking at your heart's door again tonight, don't despise the mercy. And Naaman accepted the mercy. You know, he got the chariot stopped. And this is the biggest scene. You know, he turns the chariot round and he heads for Jordan. I can picture this for you too. I'm perfectly sure it was noised abroad by this time. And I think the banks of Jordan would be lined with people. Now there would be old Jews sitting there. And while they would just sit and watch, here's the great Syrian general. Look at him getting out of the chariot now, look at him. And he's getting out with all the royal robes on, and you know they titter and laugh. They've never seen this, you know. No, a man, a leper, and he's coming to get into the water and going to dip seven times in Jordan, and thinks he'll be clean. They're having great fun. And of course, you know, when he threw off the royal robe and threw it on the bank, couldn't you see them talking to one another? And then he got his feet in the water and down into the water a wee bit. Doesn't he look a real fool? And you know, he went down into the water once and had a look at the leprosy, and it's still there, you know. And the crowd laughed, don't they? And then he went down again and again and again, and that's four, and it's still there, and they laugh more, don't they? They're having great fun out of it. And then five, six, seven, and up he comes, and he's clean. Every wet, it's gone. They don't laugh now, do they?
last soul. Clean. He's a new creature now. The power is broken. He's saved. Yes, he's starting out from that moment a new man. With new peace. With new joy. Now friends, I can remember when it happened in my life. Perhaps next Friday, I'll tell you all about it. We'll make that night the night of my life story. But let me say this now. You see, I stood over 31 years ago, a poor tramp in rags, with my bare feet on the ground. Here I stand in misery, a bruiser, chained, fettered, defeated, a leper, perishing. And the light of the glorious gospel came into my darkness. And I knew that God loved me so much that he gave Christ, that Christ died, that the work was done, that the Savior was alive. And I can take you back to the spot, 31 years ago, where I put the arms of my faith round the Christ who died and rose again. And I made him then, with my heart, my own and personal Savior, and my chains fell off, and I became a new creature, and bless God I got saved, and the boys that laughed had to stop laughing. I saw my elder brother today. He's a man over 70 now. And he was just saying to me, Willie, don't you remember when I brought you that money? You see, I got saved. Cause Tom didn't believe I was saved. He just didn't think that God could save a thing like me. And when I started going to the Baptist church, he couldn't stick it any longer, so he came round one night. And he was a hard working fellow, and he'd saved quite a lot of money, and he got a roll of notes in his hand. Now, I can't tell you what was in it, because I never accepted it. He said, Willie, look, there's all the money in the world that I have, and I'll give it to you, son, if you stop going to the church. You know, you're not going to do good there. You're only going to the church to steal something. You've made up your mind to steal something out of the church. And the poor fellow had got it all wrong. He thought, what would you steal out of the Baptist church? Who is that? There's nothing in the Baptist to steal as far as I know. No, I've put more into it than ever took out of it. But my dear brother, you see, he was so nice a fellow. He said, your mother will turn in her grave if you do something against the church. Ah, he just didn't understand. He didn't know that I'd come to a spot where I'd opened my life and embraced the Christ of God and rested on God's word. And according to the promise of the book, I was a new creature. It's 31 years later, you know. And I'm clothed and I'm in my right mind tonight. And I'm happy and I'm saved. And I'm nearer heaven now than I ever was before. And Jesus is sweeter as the days go by. Poor leper. Where art thou? Oh, I know you're a capable character. But is it true that underneath the glowing personality, you're living a defeated life? Here's a message for you. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, can deliver you, can cleanse you, can set you free, can make you a new creature, can bring into your very mind and heart and soul and being the fullness of God's salvation. Will you come? You take God at his word tonight and step out on the message of God Never mind about who will laugh, or who will sneer, or who will scorn, or who will misunderstand. Will you take God at His word and step out on it tonight? And this night say, Lord Jesus, You came, You died, You fought the battle, You paid the price. I'm the leper, I'm the perishing one. You promised me salvation. Then tonight, now, in this meeting, make Thee my own and personal Savior. I will give Thee my life now. Take me, save me. My life for Yours if it's not done. Will you come? You're not far from the kingdom, are you? Think that over. Just outside the door. Are you entering in tonight? You can go home a new creature. You can, you know. Don't disbelieve God. Will you?